I want you to, for just a second, picture Jesus in your mind. And if you want to close your eyes, you can do that. But picture Jesus, maybe how you've seen him depicted in pictures, for just a second. Think about what he looks like physically.
Maybe you've pictured something like this, right? A lot of times when we see pictures of Jesus painted maybe even centuries ago, we see him with, well, first of all, he's a tall white man, right? Long, flowy hair, maybe even a little bit of glow around his face, something like this, right? A little bit of a glowing orb around his face. Perfect symmetry, or even a light shining down from heaven on his face like so. Back in 2002, and I know many of you probably know this already, I remember I went to Bible school. They talked about it a little bit in chapel at one point. But in 2002, a retired medical artist by the name of Dr. Richard Neave, along with a team of forensic anthropologists, they constructed an artist's rendition of what Jesus could have possibly actually looked like. They used Galilean Semitic Jewish skulls from the area surrounding Jerusalem and constructed an artist's rendition of what Jesus, maybe a more accurate description or representation of what Jesus and other Jews in that area at that time may have looked like. And this is the image that they actually came up with. You might have seen that image before. It was on Popular Mechanics in 2002. But I want to ask you, is that different than what you might picture? Whenever someone says the name Jesus, almost inherently, we automatically think of a picture like we saw before, right? White man, long hair, long brown hair, reasonably good looking. This is a lot different, isn't it, than what we typically picture about Jesus? Included in their description of what Jesus might have looked like was a description of his height. And that height, what they described, was 5'1". Very different from the average American male. And his weight of 110 pounds. Very small. Now, obviously, we don't know for sure if this is exactly what Jesus looked like or his body type or size, but it does give us an accurate, perhaps a more accurate description of what Jesus may have looked like. So why do I bring that up? Consider this. If Jesus walked through the doors this morning, would we recognize him? I remember Kelsey and I, my wife, were teaching a Bible class back in Colorado where we worship. And we had one little boy, 5-year-old boy, which was plenty of energy for the two of us. He told us, we asked him to draw Jesus, and he told us he was going to draw Jesus like a regular person. That's what he said. Due to Jesus' likely regular appearance, which as they depicted here in this picture in 2002, likely would have been a regular appearance in that day. Due to Jesus' likely regular appearance, if he walked into our assembly today, is there anything that we would recognize about him at all? Think about that as we turn to Luke chapter 24. And I just kind of want to walk through this story quickly this morning. And I want to talk about these two disciples who were on the road to Emmaus. It tells us in the text here that the road to Emmaus from Jerusalem was about 7 miles away from Jerusalem. And this is shortly after we just read in Luke 23, Jesus died, right? And he's buried at the end of the chapter. And then at the beginning of chapter 24, Jesus is raised from the dead. And so these two disciples, we're going to read here in a minute, actually heard rumors about the fact that not only did they know that Jesus had died, had they followed him when he was teaching and preaching in the area, but they had heard rumors that Jesus was now alive and back from the dead. So they're walking on this road together, and it tells us that they're reasoning and conversing about these things. And you can kind of imagine maybe some of the things that they might have said to one another.
if they were disciples and they had followed Jesus for some lengthy amount of time, probably would have said something like, who was this guy? We just spent however long with him, following him, listening to his teachings. Who was this man? Why did he die? What do we make of all these rumors about him now being alive? What do we do now? You can kind of imagine the conversation that's going on. And what the text actually tells us is that Jesus joins them on the road. But it makes an interesting note in verse 16 to tell us that probably, most likely by some miraculous means, they were not able to recognize Jesus. Though they had seen him in the flesh, they didn't recognize that it was him. And he asked them and says, you know, what are you guys talking about? Why are you sad? What is this that you're talking about and you're walking together and you're sad? It says in verse 17. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, starts to tell Jesus, have you not heard about any of the things that have happened here in Jerusalem? All these events that have gone on here in Jerusalem. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about these things? And Jesus says, what things? Kind of drawing the story out from Cleopas. And Cleopas goes on to describe Jesus. And his description is anything but deity, right? He says he's Jesus of Nazareth, first of all. He doesn't say he's Jesus, the Son of God. He says he's Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, in verse 19. He was mighty indeed in word. So he acknowledges the fact that this guy did some amazing miracles. He preached some amazing things. The chief priests and the rulers, they delivered him to be crucified. And he says in verse 21, we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, in verse 21, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. So here, they knew the rumor that Jesus was alive, and they're telling Jesus himself about this. In verse 24, certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. So now they have multiple witnesses involved in this testimony. Jesus actually reprimands them in verses 25 through 27. Let's read that. O foolish ones, excuse me, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Notice the symbolism in this story thus far. It's kind of interesting that these men who had followed Jesus heard the things that he had been teaching. They're, not only are they unable to recognize Jesus in physical form, they're also missing a recognition of who he really was, according to Scripture. And Jesus doesn't just let it pass. Jesus gives no excuse for these men failing to recognize him for who he really was. He had made it very clear throughout his time on earth, through Scripture, that he was the Christ, that he was the Son of God, that he was the one to come and redeem Israel, and yet they failed to believe it. Think about us now for just a moment. When it comes to recognizing Jesus today, we're not going to be walking with him physically and unable to recognize him. But is there truth in the Scriptures concerning Jesus that we have failed to recognize and believe? Perhaps we, like these disciples, know exactly what we should believe. They had walked with Jesus. They had heard him say from Scripture, these are the things I came to fulfill, and yet they failed to believe it. The question that remains for us, just like for these disciples, is, do I believe it? Have I accepted it? Am I going to recognize who Jesus really is? And am I going to recognize the truth about him as the Son of God? It is certain that following Jesus for any lengthy amount of time, and I would imagine any amount of time, they would have heard Jesus quote exactly what scriptures he came to fulfill. We could spend all our lives gaining knowledge about Jesus, coming to church, learning about the things that he taught, and even hearing the very things he came to fulfill, and yet fail to believe it, and fail to recognize who Jesus really is. You know, we may come to every Sunday morning service, if we have Sunday evening services, every Sunday evening service, every Wednesday night Bible study, even extra Bible studies, but we can fail to recognize the truth of Jesus in the scriptures. And if we do so, just like these disciples, we have no excuse. And Jesus gave no room for excuse for them either. In the end, we will all have to answer for the truth about Jesus as revealed in Scripture. Have we believed it? And do we recognize it? That's the first point for us this morning. But knowing this, knowing the responsibility that lies on us to answer this question for ourselves, I think leads to another important question. And that is, how familiar are we with the Scripture's depiction of Jesus? And there's a lot of application that can be drawn from this. You know, in spite of artists' efforts to depict Jesus' physical likeness, if we really want to know what Jesus looks like, we have to go to Scripture. And it's interesting that that was the focus that God put around Christ. It wasn't his physical appearance. It wasn't his, shortness of stature or his average look. It was, look at the things that are said about him, the things that he came to fulfill as seen in Scripture. You know, in Acts chapter 17, you don't have to turn there, but
you can if you want to. In Acts 17, Paul is in Thessalonica, and it tells us that he's in the synagogues reasoning daily from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. He's turning with them in the Scriptures and saying, look, this is what Jesus came to fulfill. And it tells us that some of the Jews in those synagogues believed, but some of them did not. And they actually end up driving Paul out of Thessalonica, and he goes down to Berea. And in Berea, that's the famous passage that we are all very familiar with. How they responded to this message about Jesus. He's going to the very same type of synagogue with Jews who knew the scriptures about Jesus. And upon hearing this news about Jesus of Nazareth being the Son of God, the Christ, the one who did come to redeem Israel, upon hearing that news, it tells us that they searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were true, if they were so. Keep in mind, these were people who knew all the same passages that these disciples with Jesus in Luke 24 knew. They knew the passages in Deuteronomy about a prophet who was coming. They knew the passages, prophesying about a Messiah. Yet they needed additional knowledge from Scripture. And so the practical lesson is from this, is that is our understanding of Jesus consistent with what the Scriptures teach? There's a lot of things going on in the world, a lot of teachings being presented in the world, and we talked about even some of them in Bible class, about who Jesus is, what he's come to do, that are not consistent with what the Scriptures tell us. Rather than only believing the parts of the Christ that maybe we want to believe or even that we've just heard from other people, it may be that we need a more accurate representation of Christ as seen in Scripture. If we aren't familiar enough with the Scriptures to recognize who Jesus is in his entirety, then we need a heart just like the Bereans that's willing to search the Scriptures and find out the truth about him. And this leads me to a side point here, but the truth is that, and I think many of us have seen this in our own lives, the less time we spend coming to the Scriptures, the less familiar we become with Jesus.
I think about this in
applying it to marriage. And if I'm never talking to Kelsey, if I'm never finding out her likes or dislikes, if we're never communicating, it's not going to be long before
I'm going to become unfamiliar with her and we're going to grow apart. So my question is, have you ever experienced this with God? Have you ever lost sight of, an example of this would be, have you ever lost sight of a truth that maybe you once held firmly, you were fully convicted of concerning Jesus or concerning the gospel? You held it with strong conviction and you lost sight of that simply because you weren't spending enough time with the scriptures. Has your faith in Christ, which once was maybe strong, lost familiarity with who he really is? The solution to that is to get back to the scriptures. And the truth was the same for these disciples in Luke 24, wasn't it? It tells us that Jesus goes back with them to scripture. He goes back to Moses, back to the prophets, and starts explaining everything again to them. They needed to be reminded. They needed to go back to scripture. We will much more readily and easily recognize Jesus the more time we are spending with him and with his word. We just have to put in that time to get familiar with his likeness, as we pointed out, as seen in scripture. All right, let's continue on in the story here. Beginning of verse 28, and I actually do want to read this, and if my slides were working, I would have it up on the screen. But you'll have to read with me. I'm reading from the New King James Version. In Luke 24, beginning in verse 28. Jesus has been explaining these things for 7 miles or so. It says in verse 28, they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" This is a perfect verse, verse 32, to preach on. You've probably heard sermons, maybe many sermons, on Luke 24, verse 32, this idea of the heart burning within you, or within them, when they talk with Jesus. You know, interestingly enough, these disciples don't say, when they recognize Jesus and then Jesus vanishes from their sight, "You know, I thought he looked familiar. I thought that looked like Jesus. I just wasn't sure." Or we don't hear them saying, "You know, I knew that that might be Jesus, but I just wasn't 100% sure if it was." What Scripture and what Luke emphasizes about them recognizing Jesus in this passage is the way that he spoke to them. Verse 32. "Our heart burned within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the Scriptures to us." At that point, they didn't know it was Jesus. But they knew that there was something special about this guy that they were walking with. It sounded familiar. You know, going back to this idea of Jesus walking into the assembly this morning, you know, if Jesus was here, if he was sitting in the audience this morning, we likely wouldn't know it was him. Unless it looked like that picture, exactly like that picture, then we might get a little suspicious. We probably wouldn't know it was him until he spoke. Can you imagine if Jesus was sitting over here on the side and Jesus walked up here and asked to speak and spoke to us? It probably wouldn't be long before we realized, wow, this is different. This isn't David speaking. This isn't Bob speaking. This is somebody different. This is special. When Jesus speaks, it causes a reaction. It naturally causes a reaction. And we see that all throughout Scripture. And ultimately what it came down to was his authority. If you remember at the end of the Sermon on the Mount,
They were amazed that he spoke as one having authority and not as the scribes. Remember that passage? Or in Mark 1 and verse 22, it says the same thing. He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. It was different. When Jesus spoke, people could tell a difference. It was instantly recognizable to the point that even the Pharisees couldn't refute it. In Luke 20, verse 40, after they've spent a series of time questioning Jesus, it says after that they dared not question him anymore. They didn't want to deal with the way that Jesus spoke anymore, the things that he spoke anymore. Of course, the difference of how people react, or there is a difference in how people react to the authority of Jesus. The Pharisees obviously continued to deny it, even though it was very clear from the things he said that it was special. While these disciples in Luke 24 had a burning within their hearts, something special. There was something special about these things Jesus was saying. So the practical lesson, the practical question then is, how do you and how do I react when Jesus speaks? Because while we may not have Jesus in the audience today physically, and while he may not be walking up here and speaking to us, we've certainly heard him speak this morning in Bible class or here in Luke 24. What is our reaction? You know, as I was thinking about this, it's really interesting that Jesus talks about how people react to him speaking in John 10. He talks about how he's the shepherd and how the sheep, those who are really his sheep, they hear his voice. They recognize his voice and they come to him as the shepherd. If it was a stranger, he says, they wouldn't come to him because they don't recognize him. But because they recognize how Jesus speaks, they're attracted to him. They follow him. What about us? Do we recognize the voice of Jesus as the voice of our shepherd? Or is it more like the voice of a stranger? These disciples in Luke 24 responded with a burning in their heart. And I just want to ask you, have you ever felt a burning in your heart because of the words of Jesus? I know from personal experience, and I'm sure many of you have had the same, that I felt a burning in my heart because of the guilt of which his words convicted me. I've also felt a burning in my heart due to the comfort of his words. Hearing Jesus' voice ought to make him, for his sheep, instantly recognizable. That it's Jesus. We wouldn't have to know that it was him in the flesh, but we do need to hear and recognize his voice and follow him as the master and as the shepherd. So again, the question is, what kind of reaction do we have to the words of Jesus? What kind of reaction does that produce within us? Do we recognize that voice as our shepherd? Well, as soon as these disciples hear the voice of Jesus, and then their eyes are opened and they recognize him in physical form, it tells us that they believe in verse 33. They rose up that very hour. They go back to Jerusalem. They find the rest of the 11. And they say in verse 34, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Not everyone who recognized Jesus responded this way. We talked about the Pharisees. We talked a little bit about Stephen this morning in Acts chapter 7. When they heard the words of the sermon of Stephen, they end up plugging their ears and stoning him. Not everyone responds in favor and is attracted to Jesus. Think about this for just a second. How do you think you would react if you, in physical form, recognized Jesus in this room today? If you looked across the room and you thought, that's Jesus Christ, how do you think you might react?
Would you avoid speaking to him? Would, after services, would you maybe kind of skirt around the back and out the back door here? Would you immediately feel the need to worship him? If it was Jesus in the flesh, if you knew that Jesus wanted to worship with us here at Mount Zion this morning, how would you respond? Would it change the way that we worshiped? Would it change the way that we sang? The way that we prayed? The way that we partook of the Lord's Supper? Recognizing Jesus may not always lead to belief, and it may not always lead to obedience, but it does always lead to a reaction, and that reaction will and must be addressed. If we recognize Jesus today, we would probably do one of two things. We'd probably go up to him and worship him, or we would avoid him like the plague. May our reaction to Jesus be a recognition, again, of him as our shepherd. Well, my last point here is that this will come as no surprise to any of you, but Jesus is here, and he is with us this morning. I wish I had my slides working, but there's a song that we sing, and I don't know if you guys sing it here. It's called "Have You Seen Jesus, My Lord?" And in the fourth verse, I think is the best verse in that song, it says, "Have you ever stood in the family with the Lord there in your midst? Seen the face of Christ in your brother? Then I'd say you've seen Jesus, my Lord. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look. Open your eyes. He'll show it to you." That's a pretty good verse, isn't it? Reminding us to see Jesus in one another. Yeah, if Jesus was here in physical form, we probably wouldn't recognize him. Most likely. But do we recognize him in one another? One last passage I want to look at with you. Matthew 25. Jesus is telling this painting this picture of the judgment scene. And he talks about how he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep will be on the right hand and the goats on the left. And he's going to talk to the sheep and he's going to tell them to come and inherit the kingdom in verse 34. He said, "I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in." And the response of the righteous is, "Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When do we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? And when do we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." What is powerful about this scene is that, first of all, they didn't recognize Jesus. The righteous didn't recognize that it was Jesus. But although they didn't recognize Jesus in their neighbor and their brother, they did value their neighbor and their brother as if it was Jesus himself. We may not see the face of Jesus here with us today, but as that song said, we can look around the room and we can see his face in one another. We can even look at our neighbors, our physical neighbors. We can even look at our enemies and see the face of Jesus. Do we treat others as if they were Jesus? That's a pretty convicting question. Do we treat one another as if we were Christ himself? And I don't mean by worshiping, but in our hospitality, and how we interact with one another after services or even out in public. When someone is in need of our support, our prayers, financial help, or friendship, are we there for them as if it was Christ who needed that help? Well, Jesus actually goes on to tell the story about those who don't inherit the kingdom. And that was the problem with them. Jesus says, "You didn't feed me. You didn't give me something to drink. You didn't take me in." And they said, "When did we see you? If we had seen you, we would have done that. Jesus, we'd have taken you in. We would have fed you." And Jesus says in verse 45, "I said to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." The difference between the righteous and the wicked in this passage is not that the righteous recognized that it was Jesus. They both end up asking the same question. When did we see you? The difference here, again, is that the righteous treated others with the same care and respect as if it was Christ himself. If we fail to show love and respect for one another, to our friends, to our neighbors, to our brothers, and again, even to our enemies, what makes us think that we would treat Jesus any differently if he were here today? Jesus is here. And may we recognize him in one another, and may we treat one another with the same love and respect we would show him if he was in this assembly this morning in person. Jesus may not be walking through these doors in the flesh today, but we do have an opportunity to recognize him in one another. So I guess the challenge this morning is, do we, as Christians, recognize Jesus in our brothers and sisters, in our neighbors, in our enemies? Are we going to treat them with the same love, the same care, as if it was Jesus who needed the help himself? Perhaps you, like the Bereans, need more time becoming familiar with Jesus through the Scriptures, which is another point we made today. My encouragement to you this morning is take the time to understand Jesus as he really is, not as how the world paints him. Figure out what Jesus really looks like, what he really lived like, and how you can live like that too. Not just what we've been told or even maybe handpicked ourselves to believe. And then maybe we, like the disciples in Luke 24, maybe we know the truth about Jesus. Maybe we've heard all the things we should know, everything we should believe about Jesus, but we haven't confessed belief in him as the Christ. We failed to believe it. We've missed it. What a shame. What a shame if Jesus had not appeared to them on the road and they never followed Jesus from that point on. The same could be true for us today. Today, you have an opportunity to recognize Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, to be baptized for the remission of your sins, and to walk in newness of life, as the Scriptures tell us. This morning, we want to offer that invitation. We want to help you. We offer usually this moment as we sing the song of invitation for anyone who wants to come forward, maybe confess sin in their life, or confess Jesus for the first time. If we can help you now or after services come to recognize the Lord more clearly, let us know. And you can do that now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.